Jason has already introduced me. I'm Peter, and it was my privilege just to be in the water again today. I think I was chosen to be the one to change quickly because I'm the least vain out of those who preach. Brian is not back yet. I'm here, and I don't know where Jason is, and he wasn't even baptizing. So I think that's why you're stuck with me, but it's an amazing day. Death cannot keep its prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Savior. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Let's just pray for a minute. Lord Jesus, risen, alive, and full of grace, you paid such a price that we might live in freedom today. We just worship your holy name and give thanks for your redeeming grace. Heavenly Father, may we drink in your tender love so that we can pour this love out to others. Come, reign in our hearts, minds, and spirits. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to blow through our every word, action, and thought. Come, transform us on the inside so that every day we become more and more like our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. I just want us for the next few minutes to think about the fact that Jesus in his death, his resurrection, his burial, gave us a kind of model on how to handle difficult situations in life. It says in the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter, it says God has called you to endure suffering. In other words, he's saying to go through tough times because Christ suffered for you. He also left you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. In other words, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, in that he modeled what we should do in the worst and the most difficult days of our lives. For when we go through tragedies, the terrible, pain-filled circumstances, the days of doubt, the days of depression, the days of despair, we need to follow the model of what Jesus did when he suffered. Let me explain. Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, it happened over 3 days. Friday was a day of pain, of suffering, and agony. Saturday was a day of loss, of grief, of confusion, of misery. And Sunday is a day of joy, of resurrection, of celebration, of victory. And here's the thing. In our lives, we're going to go through all of those days again and again and again. Some of you might, right now, might be in that day of pain. Some of you might be in the Saturday, the day of confusion, the day of doubt, where you say, I just haven't the slightest idea of what I'm supposed to do next. But hopefully, you will get to that day of resurrection, that day of joy. But often we're going to go through these 3 days. And the last 3 days of Jesus' life before he died and was resurrected are a model for us. We have Friday, that day of pain. Jesus experienced pain at the ultimate level. Let me explain. First, he experienced physical pain. The Bible tells us that he was beaten. The Bible tells us that he was whipped, that he was wounded, that he was spit on, that he was slapped, that they plucked out his beard, that they stuck a crown of thorns on his skull, that he was scourged. Then they took him. They nailed him to a cross, which is one of the worst tortures you can imagine. And Jesus experienced the ultimate in physical pain. But he also experienced the ultimate in emotional and psychological pain. Because the death of Jesus was a humiliation. How would you like to be stripped naked, nailed to a cross so people can watch you die. It was a death of humiliation, of degradation, of a death of shame. And he went through the pain of rejection. He went through the pain of betrayal. And many of us know what betrayal feels like. He experienced that. But then for Jesus, there was another level that many of us have never experienced. That is spiritual pain. Because Jesus died on the cross for all the sins of mankind, which means he took the guilt of every evil crime, of every ugly sin throughout history. All that guilt he took on him at one time. You know, I know how heavy the burden feels when I upset Claire, when I do something wrong to hurt her. I know how guilty and how bad I feel and how heavy that burden is. But how would you like to carry the guilt, the burden of every hurt, of every pain, the guilt of every murder, of every rape, of every child molestation, of every genocide, of every evil thing, of every act of inhumanity? He took all that guilt, that burden on himself. And he went through the hell of separation from God, when he cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we've never experienced that intense kind of physical, emotional, spiritual pain combined. And so one thing we can be certain is about Jesus is this, that he understands every pain that we go through. And he sympathizes with it. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same trials and temptations we do, yet he never sinned. In Hebrews 2, it says, since Jesus went through suffering and temptation, he knows what it's like to suffer and tempted. And this is the key bit. It says, and he is able to help us. Jesus knows about pain. He has the power to get us through the Fridays, to get us through the Saturdays. He knows about the days of pain, the days of confusion in our life. He knows how to help us get to the Sundays. So what do we do in our days of pain? We do the two things that Jesus did. Number one, this may surprise you. It's the first thing that Jesus did. He reached out to his friends. Notice what it says in Matthew 26. This is just before Jesus is taken away to be crucified. It says, Jesus took his disciples with him to Gethsemane and said, stay here with me while I pray. Then he took Peter, James, and John a little further. He was filled with anguish and deep distress, and that's because he knows what is coming. And he said to them, my heart is so overwhelmed and crushed with sorrow that I feel like I'm dying. Just sit there and watch with me. Then Jesus took a few more steps, fell to the ground, and prayed. On that night when Jesus was going to be arrested, tortured, executed, the last thing he did was gather his closest friends together. And he said, you know, guys, I just need you to hang out with me a while. I don't need any sermons. I don't need any speeches. I don't need any solutions. I just need you to be with me. And these are the people who have spent the last 3.5 years with him. They're his most intimate friends. And he is saying, in my day of deepest pain, my deepest need, I just need my friends to hang out with me. And it's startling that here, the Son of God needed his friends. And this is the exact opposite of what we do. When we are in pain, we typically isolate ourselves. We back out of relationships. When we're in physical pain, when we're in chronic pain, emotional pain, mental pain, when we've had some failure in our life, when we've had an enormous hurt, when we're embarrassed or ashamed, whatever it is, typically we begin to isolate ourselves. You know, when I first joined the church here, I wasn't in the best of health, emotionally and mentally. But Claire dragged me along to a small group, to Duncan and Lorna's small group. And you know, maybe if I hadn't been cared for by my friends in that group, I doubt I'd be here today. And they were there for me. And I know now, if I didn't isolate myself, I know I could call on Brian, on Gareth, on Duncan. And Jesus started by reaching out to his friends. Friends are essential when we're in pain, but friends can't be there with us all the time. But God can. Friends can be there and they can understand to a level the depth of our pain, but they can't understand the real depth of our pain like God can. Friends have other things to do. Friends get tired. Jesus' friends fell asleep in the garden, but God never gets tired. And the second thing we need to do when we're in the Fridays of life, in the days of pain, is we need to reach out to God. How do we do that? We do it by praying. This is the other thing that Jesus did just before he faced the worst pain of his life. He went and he prayed. Mark 14 says, he went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. He prayed, Abba, Father. And Jesus is saying, Abba. Abba is the first kind of word every little Middle Eastern child learns. It's Abba, Papa, Dada. And any baby can learn to say Abba. It's just saying Daddy. And Jesus is saying, when you're in the worst day of pain and you need to talk to God about it, don't use any fancy language. Don't say, O thou most high, O great and righteous one, most just, thou rock of ages, almighty creator of the universe, thou who art. We've not to say that. We just say, Daddy, help. Dad, help. And as Jesus finished praying, the soldiers, they showed up. They arrested him. They took him through 6 phony trials. All of them were illegal. 3 Jewish trials and 3 Roman trials. And they were at night, which meant they were against the law. They tortured him. All kinds of torture. Then they nailed him to the cross. And then he dies. And they put him in the ground. And we come to the second day, which are the Saturdays of life, the days of doubt, of confusion. Imagine how confused the disciples felt when they saw their Messiah, the Son of God, crucified by the Romans, taken down, put in a tomb. They're all going, how did that just happen? They're thinking, but we know Jesus could have come down from the cross at any point, because we saw him do all these miracles for these last 3.5 years. So what's just happened? We saw Jesus heal the sick. We saw him give sight to the blind. We saw him walk on water. We saw him calm the storms and control the weather. We saw him raise the dead. We saw him do everything. So what on earth has just happened? What's happened? And there's also this profound grief. This Messiah who's supposed to overthrow the Roman Empire and liberate Israel, now the Romans have killed him. He's dead. He's in the grave. He's gone. Their hopes, their dreams, shattered. Imagine their grief. That their friend, their Messiah, their king, is gone, is dead. And they probably also felt regret. I imagine the disciples did a pretty good amount of what-ifing. What if? What if we had stopped Judas from leaving the Last Supper? Maybe we could have prevented this. What if we'd done that instead? What if we'd done this? And they probably felt a lot of self-recrimination because they'd all walked away from Jesus. Once Jesus was arrested, it says they all scattered. They wimped out. They went AWOL. They left him. They deserted him. They abandoned him. They're all embarrassed by him. They're ashamed of him. Peter had said, "Lord, I'll never deny you." And that very night, he betrays him three times. Self-recrimination. Shame. And there's probably a lot of fear. They're going, "Wait a minute, they've just killed Jesus, and maybe they're going to come for us now. Are the Romans going to come after us? I mean, we're his closest friends, his followers. Are they going to kill us?" So they're afraid. And when we're in that Saturday of life, we're in that limbo, and maybe you've been there many times, we're asking, what's happened? How did it all go so wrong? We've accepted a new job, started a new business. We had so much hope that it was going to be good. It was going to be so great, and we felt like God led you to that business, and it's all gone. It didn't work out. You got fired. Business didn't work. Company goes belly up, goes bankrupt. And you go, what happened? What am I supposed to do now? Or we go into that marriage, that relationship, and we have the greatest of hopes, and we're thinking, this is going to be heaven on earth. And then it fails. It falls apart. I mean, what's my identity now? What do I do now? And there are a thousand ways we go through the Saturdays of life, the days of doubt, the days of confusion, the days of loss, of grief, of fear, of regret. Jesus had warned them that this was going to happen. The Bible says in Matthew 26, it says, Jesus told them before the night's over, and this was the night he was arrested and killed, before the night's over, you're going to fall to pieces because of what happens to me. The Bible says, at that point, and this is when Jesus was arrested, at that point, all the disciples abandoned Jesus and ran away. And that's exactly what happened for every single one of them. They all deserted him. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever deserted God out of pain? Maybe you were praying for something to happen and it didn't, so you walked away. Maybe you thought it should happen in a certain way and it just ended up being a massive disappointment and you lost your faith. You walked away from God. Or you've just let your pain move you away from God instead of to God. If that's you, it's time to come home. It's time to come back home. But how do we survive these Saturdays, these days of conflict and confusion? Well, we need to remember the promises of God. When we're going through these difficult days, and we are, we're all going to go through them. We're going to go through them many times. When we can't put one foot in front of the other, we don't know where we're going because it's so dark. We can't see the way ahead. We haven't the slightest idea of what to do next. Everything has just turned to ashes. What do we do? When we're in that situation, when all is darkness, we need to remember and hold on to what God told us when we were in the light. We need to remember the promises of God. Right before Jesus was crucified, he gave his disciples a huge promise to hang on to in the days of Saturday. John 16, it says, Jesus went on to say, in a little while, and he's telling them that this very night he's going to be arrested. And Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. You know, he's predicting his resurrection. He knows what's going to happen, and they don't. And he says, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. And then he says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And then he goes on to say, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice. And I love this part. And no one will take away your joy. Another version says, no one will rob you, steal your joy. And he's saying, when I come back, you're going to be fearless because you know that I can handle anything. You will know it was all planned. It was part of the great scheme. And yet we can't see it in the Saturdays, the days of darkness and pain. But it's all part of the plan. And he says, he promises us, it's a good plan. And when you see the plan, you'll rejoice in ways that nobody ever imagined. And nobody can rob you of that joy. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I tell you this, you need to become a promise person. What's a promise person? A promise person is someone who knows and claims the promises of God. You know, in the Bible, there are over 7,000 promises of God to you. Did you know that? If you were to read just one promise a day, that would take you just under 20 years to read them all. And we don't know them. And if we don't know them, how can we claim them? They're like checks, if you know what they are. Checks that have been sent to us, and we just allow them to pile up on the side. We never cash them. We don't use them. There are over 7,000 promises for you. And the way we get through the days of pain and confusion and doubt and darkness is we hang on to the promises of God. For when we are in the darkness, we need to remember and hold on to what God told us in the light. And what do we know about God in the light? We know that God sees everything you go through. We know that God cares about everything you go through. We know that God grieves when you hurt, that God sorrows. The Bible tells us that God weeps. And when God sees inhumanity done by humans to other humans, it says, God weeps. We know that God loves you unconditionally. He will never stop loving you. There's nothing you can do that will make him stop loving you. We know that God is close. We know that God wants the best for you, a plan to prosper you. We know that God can bring good even out of bad, even out of evil when we give him the broken pieces. You know, anyone can bring good out of good. That's no problem. It's no big deal. But God specializes in bringing good out of bad, in bringing wholeness out of broken things. He loves to turn our crucifixions when we think it's over into resurrections where he says, no, it's not over. You know, some of you maybe have gone through a recent personal train wreck at work, in your marriage, in your health, and it's just a personal disaster. It looks like everything has turned to ashes in your life and you've got nothing to show for it. You're saying, I've put all this work in, I've invested all of this, and I've got nothing. If that's the way you feel, God has a promise for you. It's one of those 7,000. It's Isaiah 61. God promises this, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. That's a good promise to hold on to when you're in the darkest days of your life. Another amazing promise can be found in Isaiah 43. It says this: when you go through the deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord. I am your God, your Savior. And boy, don't we need a Savior. And the only way we're going to get from the days of pain, the Fridays of life, get through the days of confusion, the Saturdays of life, to get to the Sundays, the days of victory and joy, is through a Savior. I cannot resurrect myself. You cannot do it yourself. You don't have that power. You don't intrinsically have anything within you to fix yourself. Believe me now, or you can wait 20, 30 years and keep trying yourself of struggling. But you will never get a joy that lasts if you try yourself. You're not going to be able to do it. You don't have the power to fix that which is broken. You don't have the power to raise unto life that which is dead. You need to turn to Him. If you trust Him, you will get to Sunday, that day of everlasting joy. On Sunday morning, all those years ago, a couple of women go to the tomb. And they're going to mourn, to grieve at the tomb. It says, as dawn was just coming up, the sun was just rising, but really the sun had already risen. When Jesus shows up and he starts showing up first to the woman, then he shows up to his disciples, and then he shows up to a bunch of other people. And over the next 40 days, he shows up over and over again. And he has meals with people. He goes fishing with people. One time he sat down and had a several hour long discussion with about 500 people at one time. And when the disciples saw the risen Lord, it's a game changer. They weren't afraid anymore. They were fearless now. Why? Because death held no fear for them. For yes, they could now be killed because they believed in Jesus. But Jesus had defeated death. And they knew that one day they would also come back to life. And these 11 guys, these failures on the Friday and Saturday, start spreading the good news that life can be changed, that there is power in Jesus' name. And this good news starts spreading throughout the Roman Empire. And it became the faith of the Roman Empire. And within 300 years, the Roman Emperor is a Christian. Why? Because they were now fearless. They were now confident. Because they had seen and experienced the risen Lord. And their joy, it was contagious. They were now living in their Sunday, the day of joy, the day of resurrection. How do we get there? Well, we need to rely on the power of Jesus. You know, we cannot get there on our own. It takes far more than self-effort. When our life has turned to ashes, when our life has fallen apart, when we're in a chronic problem, a chronic pain, a chronic state of conflict, it's not a case of self-effort, a matter of our will. It's not standing in front of the mirror saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It doesn't work. We can't resurrect ourselves. We need a Savior. God has to do it for us. That's why it's called salvation. If you could do it on your own, then Jesus coming to earth, dying on the cross, it's a total waste. And believe me, if there was any other way you could have the Sundays, then I'm sure God would have done it a different way. But there's no other way. There was no other way. To get through the worst days of your life, you're going to have to do three things. You're going to have to reach out to the presence of Jesus. Daddy, help. I need a Savior. You're going to have to remember the promises of Jesus. We've got to learn them when we're in the light. And we're going to have to rely on the power of Jesus. And when we do these things, it's a complete game changer. Anything is possible now. Jesus said it like this in John 11. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And what that verse is saying is death. Death is not the end of our story. And that gives me quite a lot of hope. You know, if my dad, who died many years ago, if he could contact me from heaven, and he can't, but if he could, I'm sure he would say to me from heaven, he would say, "Peter, you know you've got it so wrong. Peter, you know you're so wrong." And I'd go, "Dad, what are you talking about? Where was I wrong? Where was I wrong?" And he'd say, "Peter, you know it's so, so much better than you've ever explained it. Heaven, death, it's so much cooler. I can't wait for you to die and get here. Because it's so great. Death has been defeated. It's not a fear for us anymore." And yet our minds, you see, are limited. We only see in the kind of three dimensions because we're here on earth. And there are far more many dimensions than just, I think it's three. It's like an ant, a little creature trying to understand the internet. We don't have the brain capacity. Heaven, it's literally on another level. And Jesus is saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." Notice the words he says, "I am." He's not saying, "I point to, I teach it, I show the way." What this means is Jesus is claiming to be the one to turn your Fridays and your Saturdays to Sundays. He is the one who can take your problems, take your days of pain, get you through the days of chaos and confusion, and turn them into days of joy. The solution to those days is not a principle. It's not a philosophy to live by. It's a person. It's Jesus. You don't need religion, you don't need ritual, you don't need rules, you don't need regulation. You need a relationship with Jesus. That's why Paul says, "I want to know Christ." It's an amazing prayer. He says, "I pray that you'll begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." Isn't that incredible? The same power, the same supernatural, God-saturated power that healed the wounds of Jesus, that resurrected him from the dead, is now at work in those who believe. In the deepest parts of our being, the Holy Spirit, the power of God is at work, restoring and breaking down and rebuilding and healing wounds, replacing broken parts, putting together fractured bodies. The same power that was at work in Christ is now at work in us who believe. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you on a daily basis. If God can raise a dead marriage, if God can raise a dead body, he can raise a dead marriage. If God can raise a dead body, he can raise a dead career. If God can raise a dead body, he can raise a dead relationship. He can do anything. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, that means if you pray, if you say, "God, I admit this," if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he's God, that he is who he says he is, that he is the manager of your life. If you say, "Lord," it means the boss, the king, the decision maker. It means he's in charge. If you say, "Lord," that he's not just resident, but he's president of your life. If you say, "Lord," and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this Easter Sunday, this day of resurrection, is one where Jesus can transform your life. He can bring life out of death, wholeness where there is brokenness. Here, now, today, Jesus can save you. That's one of those 7,000 promises. Have you claimed that one? If you've never accepted the grace of God in your life, if you've never turned your life over to Jesus, you're not going to get out of the Saturdays and Fridays and into Sundays because you can't do it yourself. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. Maybe the worship team can come up. I know I've gone on a bit, but it's the most important thing in life. There's nothing more important. But I'm just going to pray a simple prayer now and invite you. If you need Jesus to be your Savior, if you're in the Fridays and Saturdays and you want to move to the Sundays, just kind of pray it along with me. You can mumble it out loud. You can say it in your hearts. And you can just say, Abba, Daddy, help me. I just pray what Pete's praying. If that is the desire of your heart, just pray in your heart after me. Abba, Daddy, you know every pain I've had in my life. You know the confusion, the doubts I've had in my life. And God, you know I've spent a lot of time in Fridays and Saturdays. I want to get to Sundays. I want to live in joy, in victory. Thank you. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to pay for all the things I've done wrong, for taking my guilt upon himself. I don't understand it all. I don't know how it works. But I know I need you in my life. Come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. I want to learn to love and trust you. I want to know your presence. I want to live by your promises and rely on your power instead of my own. To rely on your power instead of my own to get me through the most difficult of days. I pray this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.